Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time. The name of the program is Bible Crossfire. We take your Bible questions over the air. We deal with the difficult topics and try to determine what the truth is, because only the truth will set us free from sin, John 8:32. 2 plus 2 can't equal 4 and 5 at the same time. And we determine what the truth is by looking at what God's Word actually says. Ephesians 3, 3-4 teaches we can understand it. If you can understand a letter from your mother, then you ought to be able to understand the Bible, which was written by God, the greatest communicator that ever lived. Now, on last week's Bible Crossfire, Charles from Spokane, Washington, made this comment. There used to be a lot of religious debates where people would actually discuss this issue, but I guess the false teachers got beat so bad. Charles is bringing up the idea of religious debates. Aren't there more religious debates? We have plenty of political debates, and isn't religion more important than politics? I suspect many of you don't even know what a religious debate is. It's a public event where two preachers who believe different things on a selected Bible topic take turns speaking, defending their view, and responding to the arguments made by the other side. It's not a quarrel, but simply an in-depth Bible study where both sides are fairly heard. It is done in an atmosphere of friendship and Christian love. Now, almost all denominational preachers and most Christians are against religious debating, but I want you to listen to the following passages that authorize and require public religious debating. Now, these passages that I'm going to read, most of them are from the King James Version, a few of them from the NIV, one or two from the English Standard Version. Here they are. Acts 18:28, "For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate." Now, if Paul can refute the Jews in public debate, why can't we have public debates now? Acts 19, verse 8, "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." Disputed for 3 months. Talking about Paul in Acts 19, verses 9 through 10, it says, "He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years." Paul then disputed daily religious topics for 2 whole years. It's certainly eminently scriptural then to debate religious differences. Acts 15 verse 2, "This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them." Acts 15 verse 7, "And after there had been much debate." Acts 9:29, talking about Paul, "He disputed against the Grecians." Acts 6:9 through 10, "Then there arose certain of the synagogue, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Acts 17, verse 17, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met him." Acts 17, verse 18, "A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him," talking about Paul. Philippians 1:17, "I am set for the defense of the gospel." Jude verse 3, "That ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Proverbs 25 verse 9, "Debate thy cause with thy neighbor." Is there any more important cause than the cause of Christ? Proverbs 28 verse 4, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them." Mark 12:28, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them," talking about Jesus, "debating." And so we have 10 or 12 passages there. Admittedly, 2 or 3 of them are in the Old Testament, just to show you that this went on in the Old Testament also. But 10 or 12 passages that authorize, not only authorize, but require us to debate our religious differences. Why is it so many are not willing to do it? Perhaps you've been listening to my program and you know of certain topics I've spoken on, important Bible topics that you disagree with me on. Perhaps you would be willing to arrange for a debate in your area. As I said, Bible Crossfire has been on the air close to a year now, and we've had some disagreement with our teaching on occasion. Perhaps you're out there and would like to arrange for a public dialogue on an important Bible topic with which you disagree with my teaching. I would be willing to consider coming to where you are for such a discussion. Ask your preacher about it. And if your preacher is not willing, then you might ask yourself the question, why? Because we've shown with 10 passages at least that God approves of public religious debating. Yes, I know that many are opposed to it, but that doesn't make any difference. All we're worried about is what does God approve of? What does the Bible teach? And the Bible shows approval for it. It shows we ought to do it. Does your preacher have enough courage to be willing to do it? Does he really think what he believes will stand up in the crucible of public investigation? A public debate where both sides are fairly heard. It's easy to preach a sermon and say this, this, and this when no one is there to respond to you. But it takes courage to preach your convictions when somebody is there to respond to you. Of course, in a debate, when they respond to you, you have a chance to reply back to that response. It's not a one-sided thing. Perhaps many preachers are scared to debate because of what we see in a passage like John 3:19-21. It says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You see, we're either scared of the light, or we love the light. A person that loves the light will come out into the open, be willing to have his views examined, be willing to discuss in a friendly way so that both sides can be fairly heard. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 1-877-655-6755. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 1-877-655-6755. If you would like to try to arrange for a public debate or discussion, a public dialogue on any of these important topics that we've considered since July of last year, then we would be willing to consider doing so. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com, and we'll be most willing to try to arrange something. Because we can see that the Bible authorizes public religious debating, and that's why we do it. It's not because we like to argue, that's not it at all. It's because God demands that when we differ religiously, we try to come to an agreement by discussing the Scriptures. Let the audience hear both sides, the arguments from both sides, and let them make up their own mind in a fair and friendly form designed for such. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. Here next, I would like to read for you some reasons we should publicly debate Bible topics. Reasons found in the Bible. Number one, perhaps the most important reason that we should publicly debate religious topics that we disagree on. Number one, God teaches we should. We just read about 10 verses that show that. And you know, one passage we didn't read because it's rather lengthy is Matthew 22:15-46, where Jesus debated the religious leaders of his day. He was able to refute what they believed and what they were saying with the Scriptures time and time again. Jesus debated. Our Master, the one we're supposed to try to emulate, he debated. Sometimes this is called the great debate, the greatest debate of all time. Matthew 22:15-46. A lengthy debate between Jesus and his religious adversaries. Are you willing to emulate Jesus? Is your preacher willing to emulate Jesus and debate, discuss what he believes the Scriptures teach in a way where both sides are fairly heard, not just a one-sided thing? So the first reason we should publicly debate the Scriptures is God teaches we should. Number two, to listen to the other side with an open mind. Matthew 13, verse 15. Do you have an open mind, or have you already got your mind made up about everything? Meaning, no matter what the Bible says, you've already made up your mind, say on that. Say, for example, I believe, or somebody says, I believe once saved, always saved is true. No matter what the Bible says, I'm going to believe that, because if the Bible, if once saved, always saved is not true, then I can't be comfortable. So they make up their mind that once saved, always saved is true, not because of what the Bible says. And then they close their mind and won't listen to where the Bible teaches that that's wrong. They say, well, you can't fall from grace. Of course, Galatians 5:4 said, whoever you be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Open up your mind. That's one reason we should have public religious debates, so that we can listen to the other side with an open mind. Number three, reasons we should have a public, we should be willing to publicly debate the Bible, Bible topics. Number three is to preach the truth as we presently understand it. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. We're supposed to do that. And a Bible debate gives us an opportunity to preach the word to people who need it. For example, I've had a number of debates with gay churches, churches that believe it's okay for to be gay, and you can be a Christian and be gay, or you can be a Christian, be a preacher and be gay. They perform gay wedding ceremonies, all of that. And why did I do that? Why did I go and debate there in their church and point out the Scriptures that say homosexuality is wrong, that gay marriage is wrong? Because I'm told to preach the truth, preach the word, and that's exactly what I was doing. That's why we have public religious debates, or that's one of the reasons, is to preach the truth. The fourth reason we should publicly debate Bible topics is to allow our position to be examined or tested. I've already read the passage, John 3, 19 through 21. I'm afraid this is why many preachers aren't willing to debate. They're not willing to allow their position to be examined or tested because they know it won't hold up. They believe and teach something they say is from the Bible, but they know it won't hold up when you actually look at the Bible in depth. That's a sorry place to be in, isn't it? I would hate to be in a position like that where you believe something even though you know it won't hold up, and so you're not willing to debate it. Instead, if you know it won't hold up, why not just change? People won't change because their parents believed a certain way, so they won't change. Or maybe they get paid a salary. They're a preacher and they get paid a salary. And they know if they change, they might lose that salary. Whatever reason, they won't keep an open mind. They're not willing to consider the other side. It's a shame. We should be willing to allow our position to be examined or tested. And if we find out our position is wrong, be willing to change. If we're confident of our position, then we'll be willing to allow it to be examined, tested. And that's why I'm willing to enter in to a public debate on these different important topics that we've discussed. If your preacher would be willing, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@gmail.com. If you want to go on the air right now, call us with your Bible question or comment at 1-877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. A fifth reason that we should be willing to publicly debate Bible topics is to seek religious unity. Do you remember Jesus' prayer in John 17, 20 through 23? He prayed, he said, I don't pray for these alone, but I pray for all the believers that they all might be one. He's talking about religious unity. He says that they all might be one, that they all might be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 21, John 17. Not only is it the right thing to do for all believers to be one, that means to believe and teach the same thing. That's the right thing to do, but it also affects our evangelism. If believers are not one, it hurts evangelistic efforts. He said, I pray that they would be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Well, if we're not one, if we're teaching different things, one of the ways we can try to work on that problem and become one is to have a religious discussion. Could be private, could be public. We need to be willing to discuss it and try to come to an agreement, letting the Bible be the standard, not anything else. Dennis from Spokane, Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Man has been here some 6,000 years plus and has still to do something good for mankind.
What is that, Dennis?
It's the lack of understanding the way it is. Religion is a vehicle, okay? We get in it, and we go where we want to go, and we do what we want to do, okay? But God wants worship. So people are confusing religion with what's in the world and how they should act accordingly.
Dennis, thank you for your call. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it so much. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. And so Jesus prayed for unity, and one way we can help accomplish unity, all these different beliefs, and try to have unity is by having religious debates to let the people hear both sides of these important questions. Michael from Maryland, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on. I wanted to know what your thinking is biblically on women preachers. Should that be allowed by the church? Is it biblical or unbiblical?
Michael, I'm going to tell you, let me ask you a question. Shouldn't we let the Bible decide this question? Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to read to you a passage. You're probably familiar with it. Let me read it to you and tell me what you think. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Michael, you might turn your radio down if you don't already have it down.
Yeah, it's down. I'm actually outside my car.
It says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, Michael, is that pass on this subject of women preachers, is that clear or is it vague?
It sounds pretty clear, actually.
And what is it saying, that women should preach from the pulpit or they should not?
It says that they should be silent in the church.
All right, that's pretty clear. Why, Michael, did that answer your question, by the way?
Yes, it does. But, you know, here goes the but. But there's also scriptures that talk about in Christ there's neither male nor female, bond nor Jew, Greek nor Scythian, they're all one.
Right. That's in Galatians 3, verse 28.
Right. So how does that relate when it comes to women preachers?
Okay. What the scriptures say in Galatians 3:28 is that anybody can become a Christian, and there's no such thing as a first-class or second-class Christian. But what 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about is that what we see in other places, too, and that has we can have different roles, though. For example, I wouldn't want to have a baby myself, but suppose I wanted to have a baby. I'm a man. Am I ever going to have a baby? No, that's... Whose role is it to have the babies?
No, it's impossible.
It's the women's role to have a baby, right?
Yes, sir.
Do Does that make her a better Christian than me, the fact that she can have a baby and I can't?
No, not at all.
Okay, so whose role is it to be the head of the house, the husband or the wife?
The husband's role.
Right. Whose role is it to preach in the church assembly, according to 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, the man or the woman?
It's the man.
Does that make the man any better than the woman in Christ?
No, not at all.
No, not at all. Not any more than the fact that the woman can have the baby and I can't makes her better than me. It doesn't. Doesn't at all. Let me read you another passage, Michael, and that's 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. And let me see what you think about that. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Here's how it goes. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not, and that's the King James way of saying allow not. I allow not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Does that sound like women preachers are authorized or not, Michael?
That women should not be in authority over men.
Yep. Let me ask you something, Michael. These verses are so clear. Why is it that probably 80% of the congregations, different churches, let's just say in the United States, but I'm sure it's the same everywhere, over 80% of the congregations allow women to preach when these verses are so clearly against it? You got any ideas, Michael?
It's probably because we live in a culture right now that says that, you know, that women aren't supposed to be treated any differently, that the women and men are the same except that they have different anatomy, and even that's being blurred.
Isn't it being blurred recently with the bathrooms and everything, saying that you got to let everybody go to the same bathrooms?
Exactly right.
Okay. So the problem here is not that the Bible is hard to understand on this. The problem is churches are letting culture dictate to them what they're going to practice. Is that true, Michael?
That's very true.
That's not a good thing, is it?
True.
That's not a good thing. Michael, we appreciate your call.
You're welcome. Not a problem.
And so, Michael's call illustrates the point. We have all these different doctrines taught by all these different churches, not because the Bible's hard to understand. This is a perfect illustration of it. The Bible is very easy to understand that women preachers are not allowed by God. But almost all churches allow it. Why? Because they let other things besides the Bible, like culture, like the women's liberation movement, these things decide for them what they're going to practice instead of letting the Bible be their guidebook. The Bible is what should be the guidebook religiously for all churches, for all Christians. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Another reason we publicly debate is to reach the lost, Mark 16, to get an audience with those we believe need to be warned, Ezekiel 3:18, to encourage study of the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, to defend the gospel of the truth, Philippians 1:17. We appreciate you listening tonight. If you're interested in having more Bible study, or you think you would like to arrange a public Bible debate on women preachers, does a person have to be baptized to be saved, or any of these other important Bible topics we've discussed throughout these last few weeks, homosexuality, gay marriage, that'd be another good topic. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Please listen next week at this same time. And if you didn't get your call in, you call us next week at this same time.